Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi, Paul.
Hello. How are you?
We're pretty good. We're getting
nice.
Getting into one of your specialties here, and that's taxes and how to avoid them and how to get around a lot of new taxes. We've been discussing that the last couple of weeks.
We have been. There's new proposed legislation already at the feet of Congress, Washington, D.C. And so there, as a quick reminder, there's nothing that's going to be changing in the Washington state estate tax, at least nothing that is coming down the pike or any rumblings. And again, as a reminder, an estate tax is imposed upon an estate when someone passes away if you have more than $2.2 million. And so therefore, it's a tax that is imposed only to someone over that threshold, not to under. So if you have less than that amount, then you are safe at this point in time from estate taxes in general. Also, Washington does not have an inheritance tax.
Right.
And so sometimes those are intermingled, but they are different. Inheritance taxes are tax to the recipient, to the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
So Washington does not have an inheritance tax. But an estate tax, Washington does have. As a matter of fact, it's the only community property state that does have an estate tax. So there's no changing there. However, on the federal side, there are multiple proposals with rather vast changes that would be rather devastating to anyone who has a reasonable amount of finances. So we've been touching base upon what the Washington state estate tax looks like, what the federal proposals are. Again, one reminder, currently the federal estate tax is $11.7 million. So you have to have more than that before a federal estate tax starts. And that's really the starting point of what the proposals are, that currently, Bernie Sanders has made a proposal, the 99.5% Act, that will bring that $11.7 million threshold down to $3.5 million. So that's per person. So if you're married, you get to double that. You have $7 million under the proposal. And we talked about in past programs that I'm not so sure. I'm not confident that the estate tax will actually get to that lower threshold, maybe around $5 million. So my personal opinion is that there will be movement.
Mm.
And so so here's the thing about an estate tax. An estate tax is one of the optional taxes that we can pay. So income tax must always be paid. And so
but estate tax is optional.
Estate tax is optional. So that's right.
Mm-hmm.
An estate tax is really for those who do not plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have around that $2 million mark as an estate, or specifically if you have reasonably more than that, we need to plan. And it needs to be a good plan. It can't just be a template trust or a template testamentary trust. Legally, they can work, but boy, practically, they won't. And so you need to find an estate planner that you can sit down with, talk through your scenario, who will listen to you, and actually begin to design a strong family plan that will do several things. Number one, either fully eliminate or at least mitigate your estate tax consequence. But then also, specifically as believers, we want to make sure that we are connecting ourselves with someone who understands what it means to have a vision for your family so that the plan will actually be fulfilled for the broader purposes. So estate taxes are just a part of an estate plan.
Mm.
They're not the totality. And unfortunately, a lot of estate planners, in my opinion, at least from the documents that I review, they view taxes as the end-all be-all instead of looking at the family and ensuring the preservation and the long-term wealth of families. And so So we've got to make sure that we have all these different balls that estate planning should be doing, which is protecting you during your lifetime as a client, making sure that your vision that hopefully you have received from God himself by prayer, that vision is enacted within your plan. And then, yes, we can do some good tax work as well, but not at the sacrifice of the other ones. And so, unfortunately, a lot of plans sacrifice vision over taxes. And in my opinion, we just should never go there. So there's a quick rundown of the couple of the past shows that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Washington State estate tax, no movement. On the federal side, a lot of movement. Pulling down the threshold from 11.7 to 3.5 is the proposal. Remember, these are only proposals. This is not current law. It has not been passed, so it's going. It's got to.
Do you think these things will pass?
So I think that they will pass in a different form than how they exist today, and they may pass in small blocks compared to the whole proposal. So in other words, because the proposals are already written, what Congress can now do is take a section of that law and put it into another law that has a lot of support. And so, unfortunately, this is just the game of politics that they play all the time, which is they throw add-ons to laws every day of the week. And so because the law is written, it's ripe for removing a certain section or one portion that Congress really wants to look at and taking that and throwing it in another bill. So, and one last quick review, and then we'll get on to maybe some of the solutions that we have, because the good news is that there are solutions to help mitigate or fully eliminate estate taxes. Okay. So a couple things that are on the chopping block with these proposals. Number one, as already stated, bringing down the threshold from $11.7 to $3.5 million. So again, if you're in Washington, if you're at $2 million, you need to do good estate planning, and that will accomplish a lot of the federal necessities as well. Also, on the chopping block is the removal of the step up in basis. Now, we've talked about that a little bit more in past programs, so I'm not going to repeat it, but that would actually cause a far greater tax within an estate, and it would almost be a double tax because you're looking at getting a tax on the estate itself, and then the heirs would pay a tax because they don't get what's called the step up in basis. When someone dies, the value is reassessed at the date of death. And now the heirs, your beneficiaries, take it from that value. And so if they cashed it in, there'd be no capital gains due. So that's on the chopping block as well. Speaking of capital gains, they're wanting to move that higher. They're wanting to also tax businesses. President Trump brought down corporate taxation. So now the current party in control desires to raise those levels back up. Look, we've been in a period over the past 15, 16 months of just simply giving money away at an unprecedented amount. That has added to our national debt like no other time in history. That has to be made up. There are some low-hanging fruit as far as taxes, because the only way you eliminate the deficit is either by stop spending, and God knows the federal government will not stop spending, or B, you raise taxes. Now, the problem with raising taxes is that you can't win a campaign by it, so you have to do it through back doors. But that's what all these proposals are doing. They're attempting to raise taxes at places where society will have a greater acceptance of it, such as let's make sure that the wealthy pay their fair share of the tax, which they've been doing all along anyways, and probably far more than what the average American does. But because that plays in society, then everyone would move in the direction of saying, oh, the estate tax corporations are bad, ugly, and they're just after profits. Well, that's because they have shareholders. That's their legal requirement, actually. Yeah. So all of these things play in society as a stepping stone to raise taxes. Some of those we can't do much about. others of them, like the estate tax, we have ability, we have techniques to help mitigate or eliminate those. And so we want to talk about some of those. And by the way, anything that I'm talking about in today's show, number one, these are just high-level concepts. Please, if you are in this scenario to where you have reasonable sums of money, please do not just start doing stuff because it came out of a suggestion. You need competent legal advice, whether it is from my firm or whether it's from a different attorney that you trust. That is the big calling card. Number one, find good, competent, experienced attorney that will help you through this process. And number two, as always, the call of action, which is you must do something. So you just can't sit on your laurels. That's when you get taxed. So again, an estate tax are for those that do not prepare. So in order to eliminate or mitigate, you must prepare. A call to action, please head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Call us, find another attorney, but you need to take a step of action because this is an unnecessary tax. And by the way, if Congress does lower the threshold, that's going to be a 40 to 45% tax at a minimum. And talk about a huge tax for not preparing. Please take steps, begin to work on your estate. Pay attention. God has made you a steward over what he has blessed you with. That means an administrative giver. Let's not give it to the state government. Let's not give it to the federal government. Let's make sure that what God has placed in your heart as wanting to do with what he has administrated to you, then we can make sure we get it to the right places.
Okay, for more details, again, go to legacyandfaith.com to find out how Paul Grant can help you. We will take a break here, and when we come back, starting to discuss some of the solutions on how to avoid an estate tax as the Legacy and Faith Show continues in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, looking at how to avoid paying estate tax. It can be done. And you've got a couple of methods here. You're going to tell us some interesting words I'd never heard before.
Yeah. So, you know, the first solution is the one that I kind of left with, which is to do nothing. That is by far the worst plan. But it is a plan. And it is by far the most expensive plan. A client that has $12 million, ultimately, with the proposal and with Washington state estate tax, they will lose more than a third of their estate to taxation.
With no plan.
With no plan. And so if you just do nothing, it is a plan, but it bites pretty good. If you have $8 million, then you will lose almost $1 million under the current plan. Those are some pretty decent sized numbers.
Yeah.
And so I would much rather get them to your family, to charities, to other individuals that you would want to see do good with those funds. So let's talk about them. So number one, the first plan, do nothing, bad option. So get in to see somebody, take steps, be proactive. Now, so there's a couple other ones. Number one is an ILIT, so an irrevocable life insurance trust. Life insurance, for some people, have a very negative connotation, but when we're dealing with estate plan, it might be a reasonable and good tool to mitigate estate taxes. The other one is called a TCLAT. It's a testamentary charitable lead annuity trust. And so that's another option. And the last one is actually giving your stuff away. So here's how the estate tax in general will work. There's two major ways, well, actually three here that I'm proposing. Number one is bring more cash into your estate so that when you pass away, you have more cash to pay the tax. Now, that's what life insurance does. Life insurance brings more money into your estate and gives an available resource to pay the tax. It does not eliminate or reduce the estate tax. But what it does is that it buffers your estate with more money so that the tax can be paid. Thereby, what you do have can be passed to family or charities or whomever you desire.
Getting a life insurance policy simply to pay taxes.
Yep. It's a very common way to do tax planning and estate tax planning. And what we do is we move it into what's called an irrevocable life insurance trust so that that money does not get counted in addition to your estate. So here's a misnomer, that life insurance policies are tax-free. So you may have heard that. Well, they are tax-free to the receiver, but they are not estate tax-free. So if I die and I'm single and I have $3 million and then I have $1 million life insurance policy, that $1 million of the life insurance policy, because I controlled it, it's called an incident of ownership, because I controlled the life insurance policy, that means when I do my calculations of my estate, I actually have $4 million. Not the $3 million that was the value of my house, the value of my IRAs, the value of my investments and cash accounts or a business. So all of those things are includable in your estate. But also what is mistakenly missed is the value of life insurance. So if we use this technique, we actually move the life insurance over to an irrevocable trust, which means that you can never have control over it. And you can't benefit from it. That's really an irrevocable trust. So we bind the insurance. It is intended to redirect assets. It's really not intended to be a cost to you, but it's a redirection of assets. It is one of the most predictable investments you can make. Because I can absolutely tell you how much your estate is going to get when you die. No other investment can do that. So it is highly predictable, very stable, and it is a known result. As an estate planner, when we're trying to plan for taxes, I like things that I can perfectly predict. And so therefore, life insurance is actually a very perfectly predictable instrument and tool that we can use. Now, some people do have aversion to life insurance. I get that. I understand some of the concept. Now, life insurance is also a great buffer when you're much younger, specifically if you're starting young families. So if you have young kids and you're listening to the program, or if your children are starting to have children, so you have young grandkids, your family needs to have life insurance. That is taking care of your family. Right. And so, as a matter of fact, the word is very clear. We need to step up and take care of our own. We are to be responsible in caring for our spouses and our family. So, so might I even dare say it could be irresponsible for you to not have some type of a term life insurance around you when you are younger, building your finances. If something should happen, then there is immediate cash that is predictable that can care for your young family. So oftentimes that's where we see life insurance, or where most people are very comfortable with life insurance. Sure. Well, it's term life policies.
It's a comfortable price too.
Yes, because you're much younger.
Usually runs out around 60. 60, and then you...
Things start to spike, don't they?
And then all of a sudden, this is a huge hit, monthly hit.
So. It can be. Mm-hmm. So actually, one of the better strategies in life insurance for estate tax purposes is to plan younger. So plan in your 50s. Mm-hmm. Start getting the insurance there. So if you have a good job, if you've received an inheritance that has increased your estate, and you're in those 50s, you're absolutely right that... When you get to your 60s, by the time you're 65, there's going to be a massive jump in the premiums. And so we would want to get ahead of that game by understanding where your finances are going and make sure that we get into life insurance at a better time. But remember, the thought process around an irrevocable life insurance trust is that it's a predictable known amount that comes to your estate to make sure that you have cash flow to pay a bill. Because here's the thing that I haven't mentioned yet. The reason this is important to have cash is because taxes, both on the federal and on the state side, are due 9 months after someone passes away.
Mm.
And so now we can get an extension of 6 months, but at the 9-month marker, it's kind of like delaying your income tax bill, interest begins to accrue. It doesn't mean that you aren't paying at that point in time. It just means that you get to have another 6 months to enjoy the IRS getting more interest on top of a money already due, and then just a little more time for your CPA to get the work done. So doing an estate tax return is exactly the same thing. The tax is actually due within 9 months of somebody dying. So imagine the scenario, and this is where a lot of the discussion about farmers comes up, by the way, which is many farmers are very land rich and very cash poor.
Right.
And so, as a matter of fact, let me just say that the rules that are coming down in Congress, there have been multiple articles that say that it will be devastating to farmers when indeed they're part of the estate tax scheme actually helps farmers so that they're not subject to it. The new proposals eliminate those. And what they do is they say, oh, but we'll give you 15 years to pay the tax. So we're not going to take your land, but you're going to be indebted to the U.S. government for over 15 years. I'm not sure I like that scenario either. Mm-hmm. So the proposals are really going to be harmful if you have either a business that you're working in, that you own, that you have commercial property. And so you can't just sit here and sell commercial property tomorrow. If you own a lot of land, such as farmers, what these scenarios do is that they create a large estate oftentimes. The value is there, but the value is not able to be gotten too quickly. They're not liquid assets. It is hard to sell a commercial building. Now, right now, you can almost sell anything by putting a for sale sign right on. You know, you could just write for sale and people will just stop to buy anything. That is not a typical normal market, okay?
In the Northwest anyway, yeah.
Yeah, anywhere actually. And so really what happens, the unfortunate part, is that when people do not have liquid assets to cash out, then that tax is due within 9 months. And if you can't pay it, the interest charges start racking up. Here's another issue. If I have a commercial building, what if my girls, because I have two daughters, what if they have no interest in owning a commercial building? Because I use it for my law firm. So now what? Now my girls are stuck with a building because if I had an estate that was taxable, they may have to use all the cash. Mm-hmm. And now they have no option but to sell it. And oftentimes that ends up being a fire sale. You get less value for having to sell property in order to pay a tax that is due within a short period of time. So for all of these reasons, and actually many other reasons, life insurance is often an extraordinary tool and a proper tool, as long as we can get you past the mentality that you've got to make an annual payment towards this thing that continues on. If you understand that in this scenario, when we're using it to help with estate tax planning, then it is a shift of your assets to a different investment tool. It just happens to be life insurance. Hmm. And so if that mentality can be bridged, then most people will see the value of utilizing life insurance because it adds that cash that is absolutely needed, and it can be a win-win for everybody. It gives the estate the most flexibility in dealing with what's at hand, and it makes sure that we don't have to use a fire sale technique to get it liquid cash to pay an estate tax that is due within 9 months. So there is one of several tools, and we're going to continue this discussion next week. There's a couple other things I would love to talk about. We're getting into some of the tools, again, as a reminder, and also as the bumper will eventually say, please do not take anything I'm saying in these discussions and start implementing them without legal advice that you are able to sit down and talk with an attorney that you trust.
People could sit down and talk with you about that. How do they do that, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's upcoming educational sessions and ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.